In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus wept over Jerusalem's impending destruction. Jesus overturned tables, scattered coins, and drove men out from the temple. So which picture are you most comfortable with? Both are scriptural. Both occurred because he loves. The cause for both events is their unbelief. Jerusalem rejected God's word, and it pained him. He does not desire the death of anyone, but that all would repent and turn from their evil ways. But he will not force himself upon them. He allows himself to be rejected because he loves, and he wants to be loved in return. The physical punishment that Jerusalem will experience is harsh, hard to read about. The eternal is gut-wrenching. That holy city chosen by God out of all the cities in the world that have ever been or will ever be will be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. The chosen people of God, sons of Abraham, children of Israel, delivered by God with a mighty outstretched arm from Egypt, will be cast into hell. He loved them, but they hated him and his word, and so wrath is coming. Understand that Jerusalem is not a shadow of the unbelieving world, but it's a shadow of the church visible. Not everyone who says Jesus is Lord is a Christian. Many deceive others, and many deceive themselves. So Jerusalem's frightful destruction points to the judgment that will befall the externally pious, righteous, and devout. They are hypocrites in whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but inwardly they are filled with death. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are weeds among the wheat, bad fish mixed in with the good. How often Christ warns us of hypocrisy and of false belief. Knowledge remains, but faith is lost. Piety remains, but faith is lost. Kindness, goodness, selflessness, many good works remain, but faith is lost. For the eyes become focused on self rather than on Christ. And so repentance is far from their hearts and minds. Like Jerusalem, they reject his word. And so wrath is coming. The tears of Christ are not a warning for the world, but they're a warning for you. They're a warning for you who call yourself Christian. Jerusalem is destroyed because she lost faith. Do not be like her. Do not reject God's word. It doesn't hurt God as much as it hurts you. It places you underneath his wrath and sets you up against his anointed. Yes, learn the scriptures, grow in piety, in love, pray, fast, and give to the poor, be selfless, be kind. But do not let those things turn your attention away from the word of God. The word instructs you in godliness, to be sure, but first and foremost, the word is the revelation of Christ. In fact, that word is Christ. Hear him and so receive him into your ears. Let repentance define you. Jerusalem failed to recognize that Christ was her peace, and so in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. And those who reject God's word today, even if they physically attend a church Sunday after Sunday and serve on boards and help out wherever they can, those who reject God's word will also be destroyed. And it brings him no joy. He died for all, and he wants all to live with him in his heaven. He is patient, but not forever. And so he entered the temple with whip in hand, flipped their tables, scattered their coins, dispersed the animals, and drove out men. He makes quite the scene because he loves. He doesn't want them to suffer the eternal damnation, though the physical destruction of the city is coming. He is zealous for his holy name. And he will not let it be profaned among the nations forever. God's name is profaned when the word is taught falsely and when people live contrary to it. It does not matter what the false teaching is. Every false teaching desecrates God's name to some degree. It changes who he is and what he has accomplished. It makes him more like us in the end. And our fallen flesh wants to accept sin as okay, simply because we had no other options in that moment. It wants us to understand that doctrine is important, but not all that important. Minor differences need not be exploited, especially when there's bigger fish to fry, bigger societal problems to deal with, bigger wrongs, and bigger things to worry about than simply doctrinal minutiae. But if we think such, then we are wrong. If we think the details of doctrine are only for pastors, again, we are mistaken. I think that we are just doctrinally lazy. We don't want to put in the mental work to think through the ramifications of false teaching or to think deeply about a scriptural teaching. To say it simply, we think we know better than God which doctrines are important and which are not. And sometimes we think it is better just to not rock the boat. Christ rocked the boat. He comes to the temple of your body with whip in hand to preach the unadulterated truth. And so he drives out wickedness from the temple, and he drives out all wickedness from your heart with his word. As he removed those who profaned his name, so he removes the false teaching, the wishy-washy doctrines, the syncretistic ideas that you hold on to. He speaks the truth of his word. He loves you too much to let you sit on the fence, for he wants you to be saved from even your own self. So he whips your fallen flesh through his word so that you might repent of your sins and desire the purity of his word, that you might believe what is true and live according to it. And in that destruction, in that wrath, you find his mercy. He will not simply let you be as you are, but he wields the whip of his law to correct you so that you might be a temple fit for him, and saved on the day when he returns. What did Jesus do after he drove out those who were exchanging money? He didn't leave the temple, but he remained in it, daily teaching his word, and the people clung to it. Your fallen flesh finds God's word abusive, restrictive, out of date, and sometimes just downright mean. So there's no saving it. There's no reforming it. Reform a sinner and you get a reformed sinner. So it must daily die through contrition and repentance. Let it have no part in you. For God corrects you, rebukes you, and accuses you. He kills you with his law, so that you might be lifted up and saved by his gospel. But his work is still not done. As he took up residence in his temple to teach the word, so he takes up residence in the temple of your body. Through his word, he keeps you clean, pure, and holy. Through his word, he drives off hypocrisy, false teaching, and ungodly living. Through his word, he continues to dwell in you, to protect you from all harm and danger to body and soul. The chief priests, scribes, and principal men of the people sought to destroy Christ because he taught the word of God. The devil, the world, and yes, even your own sinful flesh seeks to drive out Christ as he preaches the word of God. But Christ will not leave. He will continue to preach his word to prick your hearts and to heal your souls, so that you might be saved on the day of judgment. Jerusalem did not know the things that made for its peace, but you do. It is the word of God, and that word is Jesus, your Lord and Savior. He brings peace by driving out your fallen flesh. He comes with vengeance, with divine retribution. He comes to save you from yourself and to make you a temple fit for him. And in that destruction of the flesh, we find his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.